Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We should all be ashamed of ourselves for liking this song.
Hated it.
That's terrible. That's terrible, man.
You're listening to The Growing Up Rock Podcast with Stephen Michael and Sonny Hollywood Pooney. Now, crank it up.
Hollywood, last time around, we decided to do a Dirty Dozen and each pick six songs. Last time around, it was the Kiss episodes and we picked six songs each. This time around, it's the Dirty Dozen and we are picking what I am calling terrible endings to an otherwise pretty good record. And so we're looking at the last song that closes out an album that overall we think is pretty good. So this should be an interesting episode. What's up with you, my friend? You doing all right?
I am doing good. When I was picking my albums, as I'm picking and thinking about what I'm going to say on the final track, I was actually getting pissed off. So I was like, all right, I think I got the right albums.
So I was actually kind of laughing because I think there's going to be about 50% of your stuff that I don't necessarily agree with. May not be the best song in the album, but I don't know if it's that bad. My stuff, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I don't even like some of your albums, period. So all of it's bad.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me either. I definitely picked some that are not necessarily up your alley, but we'll get into all that. But hey, look, as we do with most of these episodes, hell, as we do with all these episodes, before we get too deep into it, you know we got to do this.
It's time for the Crank It Up Music Spotlight.
Okay, so tonight's Crank It Up Spotlight, we are going to feature a rather heavy band that I'm not very familiar with. I know a little bit about it, but we actually brought this band up in a past episode, which I have no clue. I think it was the 250 list, actually. That we discussed this, but we're featuring the band Primal Fear in tonight's Crank It Up Spotlight. And so they've got a new album coming out called Code Red, which is going to be released on September 1st, which I think by the time you listen to this episode, it'll be after September 1st. So the album's out there. Go out there and get it. This is a metal band from Germany that's been around for a pretty good while at this point. It's, and I'm just going to use most of these first names, Ralph on vocals, Matt Sinner, who was actually in the band Sinner that we talked about on bass and vocals, Tom on guitars, Alex Bayrot on guitars, and Magnus Carlson on guitars. Magnus and Alex have appeared on a lot of other things, especially for Frontiers Records. So they've got a bunch of other projects going on. And then Michael on drums. Check out this song called Another Hero from Primal Fear.
So I'm listening to the song the other day, chugging riff, nothing wrong with that. All was good until the vocals started. And I'm just like, oh no, this like Shakespeare, the skull in the hand. Like I tried to like it. And I love Magnus. And I love Alex. I couldn't like it. I love the music. I thought the rest was meh. This is Righty and BC shit. This, oh, yeah. Oh. I was just like, Jesus, I can't listen to it.
So I have to admit that my tolerance for this type of stuff has lessened over the years than when I was younger. It's really hard for me to listen to a lot of this stuff like this nowadays for that very same reason. Musically, I really like it. Like, I like the heavy riffs. I like that it's not all like thrashy double time. There's some grooves in there. I like all that stuff, but the vocals kind of throw me off. And it's not that the guy's a bad singer, but I don't necessarily like the Shakespearean delivery, as you call it, some of that stuff. So it's just, I really, really have to be in the mood for this kind of stuff to listen to it. But overall, I know a lot of our listeners like this type stuff. And if you like that song, then it might be worth your time to check out Primal Fear in general. But maybe this new record is a great place for you to start if you're not that familiar with it, because I have gone through the record and it's pretty. I mean, if you like this song, you'll like the record because it's pretty much along that same lines. There's some really, really good riffs on there, some great music that I really like the music from that standpoint, but that's kind of where it ends for me.
Please make sure you hit that follow button to subscribe to Growing Up Rock Podcast so you don't miss an episode.
So getting to the episode, so this whole terrible endings thing, you know, I don't think we were looking for, well, it wouldn't be Desert Island Albums, because they wouldn't be Desert Island Albums if we didn't like the last track. So I kind of went to first, I have this like list of almost Desert Island Albums. But not all of those, the last track is bad, right? It's usually like a, not usually, but there's some of them that got like a middle track that I don't like so much.
Sonny got a lot of lists, people.
Yeah, I got a lot of lists.
Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Ooh.
You just made the list, buddy.
So, yeah, I went with bands that I love, and I went with some of the albums that I really, really like. But then where really the last song is possibly not something I absolutely hate, but it just didn't need to be there, or it was just bad all the way around. So my first pick, I'm going to go with Whitesnake, Slip of the Tongue, Sailing Ships. So let's talk a little bit about the album first. So this album was released in 89. It comes on the heels of Slide It In, released in 84, and then the 87 record released in 87. So they're red hot. Album peaks out at number 10 on the U.S. Billboard 200. So here on December 16th, 89 is when it got to number 10. Here was the top nine albums when it topped out. 9 was Pump by Aerosmith. 8, Steel Wheels by the Rolling Stones. 7, Cosmic Thing by the B-52s. 6, But Seriously by Phil Collins. 5, Hangin' Tough by New Kids on the Block. 4, Forever Your Girl by Paula Abdul. 3, Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson. 2, Girl You Know Is True, Ooh, 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 I Love You, Milli Vanilli. And then 1, Stormfront, Billy Joel. It's going to be hard to beat some of these guys. A lot of these bands were ultra hot at the time, or artists were ultra hot at the time, so it kind of is what it is. If you know anything about this album, or if you've heard about it before, Vivian Campbell's out. Adrian Vandenberg's still there. He has an illness. He can't record. Coverdale needs somebody to record the album because he's got to get going. And he enlists Steve Vai because he saw him on the Crossroads movie and thought the guy was cool. Had never heard Vai before. I got a hard time believing Coverdale had never heard Vai before. It's 1989, dude. But whatever. It's possible, I guess. So anyway, Vai gets the job. Now, some people would say, and including Vandenberg has said, that look, Vai was flamboyant and didn't really fit what they were trying to do bluesy approach-wise to the album. I'm a huge Steve Vai fan, so I don't hear that. I like the flamboyance, but that is what it is. So the album had Coverdale on vocals, Vai on guitar, Rudy Sarzo on bass, Tommy Aldridge on drums, and then Glenn Hughes and Richard Page from Mr. Mister did a bunch of the backing vocals. So I love the 87 record. I would say many people did. I love Slide It In before that. Both are Desolate Island albums for me. When this album came out, love Vai. Vai was involved, I was super excited. I get the album, start listening. The album doesn't disappoint. Right? First 8 songs. Simple the Tongue, Cheap and Nasty, 4 Feet 11, Now You're Gone, Kitten's Got Claws, Wings of the Storm, Deeper Love, Judgment Day. Great songs. Slowpoke Music comes, it's the second to last song. I'm like, eh, but it's listenable. And then a 6-minute song from a band that just sang about Kitten's Got Claws and then slows it completely down to do Sailing Ships. Total Deep Purple vibe. And I get it. Coverdale was in Deep Purple. But we just didn't need this. We didn't need the album to be this long. You could have just cut it as Slowpoke Music. It would have been fine. It just stops it from being a trilogy of perfect albums for me. I know you're not a huge fan of this Total album, but do you agree about the Sailing Ships, and what do you think about this album?
Yeah, overall, I told you that I've grown to like this record much more through our relationship in the podcast. I still think that Vai doesn't fit Whitesnake, and that's part of my issue. My issue is really not with Vai as a player. Vai is the shit. We did an episode on that, thanking the greats, but I'm not a fan of this type music to begin with. You know this. Sailing Ships, and I got that mixed up with Sail Away, which was on the Purple album from the Deep Purple Burn record. What is it with Coverdale's affinity for sailing? Does he secretly want to be like a captain? What?
When you marooned me on that godforsaken spit of land, you forgot one very important thing, mate. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Don't kill it, love. Lum peaky peaky. Lum meansy weensy.
I don't know. And he lives in Lake Tahoe, so it's possible he's got a sailing boat, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he was selling the house in Tahoe, he was saying. But yeah, I agree with you. This is not the best ending to a record. Yeah, it's not my favorite type of music to begin with.
So for my second pick, I went with Warrant's Cherry Pie. And we were trying to stay away from, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't do like an instrumental at the end or something stupid at the end. But I'm going to explain, because whether you believe Ode to Tipper Gore should be considered the end or Train Train should be considered the end, this one fits the bill. So if you don't know anything about Cherry Pie, second studio album by Warrant, released in September 11th of 90. This one peaked at number 7 on the Billboard 200. So here's a competition it couldn't beat. 6 was Blaze of Glory by John Bon Jovi. He wasn't going to beat that. 5 was Poison by Belviv DeVoe. 4 was Listen Without Prejudice, George Michael. 3 was Mariah Carey's first album, which had all those number one hits. 2 was Wilson Phillips' first album, which had all those number one hits. And number 1 was MC Hammer, Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him. So Cherry Pie was not going to get any farther than 7. Probably people were surprised it got to 7. Okay. If you remember, if you're a Warrant fan, it was rumored that neither Eric Turner nor Joey Allen, who are the two guitar players, did any of the solos or any of the guitar work. That rumor was supposedly never verified, but the guy Mike Slamer, who supposedly did all that work, his wife first said in 98 that her husband played guitar on the record, and then Bo Hill, who produced the record in 2012, said Slamer did do all the guitar. So we don't know who to believe in all that. Who knows? Okay. So for me, I loved Dirty, Rotten, Stinking, Filthy Rich. I thought it was a great album. Desert Island again. When I first heard this album, super excited, because the first seven songs are Cherry Pie, Uncle Tom's Cabin, I Saw Red, Bed of Roses, Sure Feels Good to Me, Love and Stereo, Blind Faith. Seven awesome songs. The next three songs, which are Song and Dance Man, You're the Only Hell Your Mama Ever Raised, and Mr. Rainmaker, they're good songs. They fit what Warrant was doing. They're good. Then the second to last song, or the last song, is this stupid Train Blackfoot cover that no one ever needs to do. You were just singing about cherry pies. Nobody gives a shit about Train. Then I'm going to coin this phrase because it's going to come up a couple of times. Then to finish it off with a double dip stupid move, you do 55 seconds of F words to Tipper Gore. Dude, nobody cares that you don't like Tipper Gore.
The fuck is Sonny Poony?
Absolute idiocy. Double dip stupid. Webster's Dictionary should have this fucking album like pictured right there. Like two of the dumbest things I've ever heard on the back of an album. You can't possibly like these two stupid shit songs.
Okay, well, one I wouldn't even consider a song, right? Train's a song. Oda Tipper Gore is just...
Is Train a song? Should it be classified as song?
Yeah. Okay, let me be the voice of reason here. So I'm with you on the Cherry Pie record. I think it's a great record. The first two Warrant records, well, first three Warrant records are fantastic, in my opinion. Love them. Like all three of them. I thought the Mike Slamer stuff primarily happened on that first Warrant record. I didn't know that he was also being rumored as part of the Cherry Pie record. I may be wrong, but that's what my recollection was. So, yeah, they decided to do a cover. They do the Blackfoot Train. Other people have done Train as well. Do you like the regular song or you don't like that song, period?
I don't like the song, period.
Okay, so that's part of the problem, right? If they're doing a cover, it doesn't matter if you didn't like the song to begin with. I like the song. I like the Blackfoot cover or the Blackfoot song itself, but I also think that the Warrant cover is fine. I actually think I like the original better, but I do like the Warrant cover simply because the guitars are a little bit heavier. They're a little bit more modern, recorded-wise. The Oda Tipper Gore. So I think we have to put into perspective the time frame that this came out, because this probably occurred right around the time that all this was super hot. And I think, you know, if nothing else, maybe it gives you a little street cred with the kids to put this on the end of the record. You got the space, you threw it on there as kind of a goof, and that's really all it's meant to be. I don't think it's meant to be anything more than that. It's being able to verbally give Tipper Gore the middle finger on a record versus not. And it also gets them a sticker, and I think that bands at this time wanted that sticker. We've discussed that in the past, that sticker actually helped sell records more than deterred selling records. So I think it was a marketing thing. I think it was a goof. I don't think it was meant to be anything more than that. And if you put it in that perspective, then it's okay to me. It doesn't make a difference to me. But again, I like Train. If you don't like Train, it doesn't matter whether they covered it good or didn't cover it good. It's a song you don't like. And that nothing's going to change that. So that's my personal thought on it.
They kick ass. Hey, I want to hear all of you scream the hair off your nuts.
Fuck. Tell the fuck off.
Fuck it.
All right, here we go. I'm fucking right there.
Fucking.
I'm dead.
We'll be right back.
And I will tell you, my mind can be changed because I don't like Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. But when I heard Hailstorm do it, I'm like, oh, that's how that song's supposed to sound?
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges because they didn't stay true to the original version, whereas Warrant did pretty much stay true to the original version on here.
Oh, okay. All right, so for my third pick, I actually went with Stryper. So Stryper is one of my top 10 albums. I went to Against the Law, and the song Rock the Hell Out of You. So if you don't know anything about Against the Law, fifth release by Stryper, obviously, three singles and videos. Shining Star, which is an Earth, Wind & Fire cover, Two-Time Woman, Lady. At this point in time, you know, they were kind of getting away from more of the faith-based stuff and singing a little bit more about rock and roll relationships. They kind of dumped the yellow and black spandex. You know, whether some members of the band wanted to have that happen, some didn't. Michael Sweet leaves after this album, so who knows. But I found something that Tim Gaines said in an interview. This is what he said. This was our response, the album, was our response to these religious folks who Christ said they swallow a camel and strain on a gnat. I don't even know what that means.
Wait. Swallow a camel and
strain on a gnat.
And strain on a gnat. I've no clue what that means either.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No. Jack, I pass on grass all the time.
So he says, in other words, in response to the criticism from Christians protesting against them, that's what he meant by it. That was his, I guess, his criticism. I don't even understand what he's talking about.
Maybe that's why he's not the band anymore.
I got a feeling that might be it. So anyway, I love Stryper. Like I said, one of my top 10 bands of all time. That being said, I do not have a Stryper album. That is a Desert Island album for me. And that's because always what I will call, they have at least one, an overdone or cheesy or just too churchy of a clunker on like every album. So like Hell with the Devil has that sing-along song. Can't stand that song. On Soldiers Under Command, it's the rock that makes me roll. Can't do it. And for Against the Law, man, I love this album. Even more than some of the actual band members love the album. And I can tolerate Rock the People. Rock the People's okay, and it's the third song on the album. But after nine outstanding songs, Against the Law, Two-Time Woman, Two Bodies, Not That Kind of Guy, Shining Star, Ordinary Man, Lady, Caught in the Middle, All for One, great songs. Rock the hell out of You. I mean, good Lord. I don't even, that was a pun, I guess. I can't stand the closer. Like, it just makes me mad. We will rock the, I mean, I just like, what are you doing? The song before that was a perfect ballad. I don't know why you would end with this. I know you like some of this album, but that song's not great.
Yeah, so I do understand exactly what you're saying. I think that Stryper has always towed that line of having that bit of cheesiness. And I think that's Michael more than anything. Even when Michael posts certain things, there's a way where he has that sort of over the top type thing. And look, be who you're going to be. Do what you like. It's not my place to judge him. I get it. And listen, there's a million other bands that are equally as guilty by a thousand times over. Kiss, Judas Priest, a million of them. They're all guilty of shit like that, where they do something that's just super cheesy. Come on, guys, fist in the air type things. And it's I get it. So, I don't disagree with you on that. It's not the first time that you've heard that from Stryper. It won't be the last time that you hear that from Stryper. That's part of their DNA, I think, is they've got to have that thing that's just a kind of all for one, one for all kind of type thing, you know?
Yeah.
With
Like what you're hearing? Share this episode out. Post it to your favorite social network and let people know you're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast. It will help us grow, and we greatly appreciate it.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Look at all the people here tonight! Oh, man! I got to make an announcement right here. Can you hear me out there?
It's time to take a quick break in the action from this week's episode. Sonny and I just wanted to thank all of you, the listeners, for joining us each and every week. Whether you just found us today or have been listening for multiple episodes, we love your passion for music and rock and roll in general. We consider you all part of our Loud Minority family. Always remember, you can communicate with us a few different ways. If you don't mind Facebook, head over to the Growing Up Rock Loud Minority Facebook group and be part of the conversation. It's a private group, and all you have to do is ask to join, answer a few rock and roll questions, and you're in. If you despise Facebook, which many people do, then send us an email to growingUpRock@gmail.com. We get everything there. You can follow us on Twitter and Insta at Growing Up Rock, which is one word, GROWINUPROCK. In the event you feel entertained by our podcast, we would appreciate it if you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode, and go leave us a 5-star review either at Apple Podcast or Podchaser. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program.
All right, we're going to get some hate mail on this one. Here we go. So the next one I picked was Def Leppard Pyromania. Here we go. Oh, my God. Sonny's taking shots at Pyromania. It's a perfect record. Blah, 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 blah.
I thought Pyromania is a Desert Island record for you, though.
No, it is not.
Oh, it's not.
No,
okay.
It is not. I don't have a Def Leppard one.
Okay, go ahead.
It's close. It's close. Pyromania is great. It's just not perfect.
I got you.
And to me, Def Leppard doesn't have any perfect albums, right? The first 8 songs on this album are outstanding.
And we're going to talk about what keeps it from being a Desert Island record for you.
That's right.
Okay.
Action Not Words is okay, but Billy's Got a Gun as a closer is just not good. It just doesn't even compare to the other tracks. You can't even call it acceptable filler. And I know you love, love, love this album, but you cannot tell me that Billy's Got a Gun closes this album with a bang.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you, my friend, because it's in the title. Lord. Billy's Got a Gun. Bang, bang.
Jesus.
Shoot him up.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. So Pyromania is a Desert Island record for me. I don't have a problem with any of the songs on here. Obviously, like any other album, some songs are better than others. There's no doubt about that. This song comes at the very end. It's not like they put it as the first song on the record. It's not like it's, you know. I was just looking because I saw it on your list. So I said, let me pull up the album listing, the song listing, because I wanted to know whether or not I felt like Billy's Got a Gun is my least favorite song on this record. And it's close. I think it's close. If you take away the fatigue and all that, right? Because I would tell you, like, I'm fatigued on Rock of Ages. That's the worst song on the album. That's not a truth statement. That's fatigue. So Billy's Got a Gun and Die Hard the Hunter are real kind of neck and neck for me. I like them both, and they by no means keep this record from being a Desert Island record for me. But if you stack up Billy's Got a Gun against Photograph or Billy's Got a Gun against Rock, Rock Till You Drop or Stage Fright, I mean, it doesn't compare. So from that standpoint, I agree. A lot of people don't like Action Not Words, and I love that song. Like, I really like Action Not Words. That's one of my favorite, like, deep tracks on this record. I can pick way far worse closers, but okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, sticking with some of my favorite bands, Iron Maiden's another top 10 band for me. And I went with Somewhere in Time and the song Alexander the Great. So if you don't know anything about Somewhere in Time, it's their sixth studio album. And they had just come off a tour that lasted 331 days, and they played 187 times, right? So Bruce was just done. So he's like, look, I want to write different kinds of music. And he started writing these like acoustic-based songs because he was trying to write a physical graffiti, basically. And they basically told him none of those songs were any good. So he doesn't have any co-writes on any of the songs on Somewhere in Time. So now we're all up to Steve Harris and Adrian Smith. And you get the guitar player and the bass player involved. They're not a song on here that's radio-friendly, or at least not short enough to play on the radio. Iron Maiden, just like Stryper, I got no Desert Island albums because there is always at least one clunker. Either it's too long or they're trying too hard to be epic and they just lose the melody piece of the song that they're trying to do. Somewhere in Time is my favorite Iron Maiden album. Six outstanding songs. Caught Somewhere in Time, Wasted Years, Sea of Madness, Heaven Can Wait, Stranger in Strange Land, Deja Vu. The loneliness of a long distant runner, I can tolerate. It's okay. Okay. But then to close the album with an 8.5-minute Alexander the Great is just not great. I get it. You want to say how great Alexander is. I never liked this song for the first time I heard it. I remember going, what is going on? You could have just threw another Deja Vu on here. It would have been great. Like, where is this song coming from? It's not a super bad song. I'm just not a big fan of the super epic closer, and Maiden does it a lot. And sometimes they start an album with an 11-minute song, which, whoo, it can be a tough listen.
That's all Maiden is now, are epic songs. Yeah. They don't,
because they don't care anymore. They don't care.
They don't care anymore. And usually the first single they release is the shortest song on the record. Like, it's the most normal Iron Maiden song. That first single that they always released is the most normal sounding Iron Maiden song and the shortest song. And then everything else around it is bloated. Like, this is why. So Maiden, let me put this in perspective. Maiden is a top 10 band for me. And it's built primarily on the first album all the way through Somewhere in Time. And that's where it ends for me. Seventh son of a fourth son of a fifth son. I give a shit about. Don't like the record. Don't care. And don't really like anything after that, except for maybe Brave New World is decent. Alexander the Not So Great, according to Sonny. That's the new title, Alexander the Not So Great. So a lot was made about them playing this live for the first time in a long time on this current tour that they were doing. I'm guessing that was not a selling point for you.
No, it wasn't. But what's the difference? I mean, they're doing other songs that are 18 minutes now, like, whatever.
That's correct. Yeah, so I don't think I was aware that Somewhere in Time was your favorite Maiden record.
Oh, yeah, because it's when I came into Maiden, and it was the first time I saw him, too.
Yeah, makes sense. Definitely not my favorite Maiden. Mine goes back to, like, you know, Peace of Mind or Power Slave. Probably one of those two is probably my favorite. Yeah, I got no arguments here for you because I agree. I'm not an epic song lover either, and this song, comparatively speaking to, like, you know, Sea of Madness and some of those other tunes, are much better, in my opinion. So it's a solid pick.
And then my last pick, Van Halen 1984. Oh, my God. Sonny's going after another Diamond album.
Blasphemy. Man, Sonny, yeah. So let me get this right. Sonny has closed out his Dirty Dozen six-pack with Def Leppard, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen.
That's
Jesus,
right.
Why don't you just go after Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin while you're at it. I mean, my God, son, you're just
sorry. You know, I could have went with Saxon and Anthrax, but their whole album is shit. So it's not just that song.
The views and expressions voiced in this podcast by Sonny Hollywood Pooney do not reflect those of the Grown Up Rock Podcast. Continue.
So, 1984, everybody knows the album. We did an in-depth review of it a couple years ago. And as you may remember, topped out at number two. It couldn't be Thriller. But Jump did go number one. And just in case you didn't know this, Jump replaced Karma Chameleon by Culture Club to go number one. Had the spot for 5 weeks, and then lost it to Footloose by Kenny Loggins. So here's my thing. I can tolerate the 67 seconds you wasted at the beginning of the album. Okay, I got you. Whatever. 7 wonderful songs after it. But to end with House of Pain, come on. The song's just not good. It's a terrible ending. They should have done a cover song instead. Just redo Ice Cream Man. I'd have been so happy. It's not a good song, and I don't know why you would end an album with this, and I know you don't agree, so go ahead.
You know me well, my friend. No, yeah, I do not agree with that. In fact, it's probably the best song on this album, short of Hot for
Teacher.
Oh,
my God, dude.
No, I'm just kidding. That much I'm kidding. House of Pain is an old, old Van Halen song that goes back to the Van Halen demos before the first album even came out. So, you know, it's like a lot of Van Halen stuff. They go and they dig out riffs and rework songs all through their entire career. This is just another case of that. If you go back and listen to the Gene Simmons demos, I think it's on that one in particular. And if not, it's definitely on one of the earlier ones before that even. I like it. I like the chugging riff. It doesn't bother me. There's nothing that really bothers me. Is it the best written song on this record? No. It probably would have been better placed on one of the earlier albums, because by the time they get to 1984, their writing has become a little bit more slick with songs like Panama and, you know, I'll Wait and Jump and stuff like that. It's a little bit slicker writing, but I like the song. I don't have a problem with House of Pain. It's certainly not a bad closer to a record, so that really doesn't bother me at all. They're far worse, but that one doesn't bother me at all. Sorry. Don't agree with that one, sir.
Yeah, I had, 3 platinum albums, 2 diamond albums, and an album that the band members hate on my list.
You went after some massive ones. I must say, I'll give it to you. You got the balls to go after some of these things. The one thing I do like, this is what always makes me amused, is that the world famous Hollywood Pooney has such fans and followers that even when he disses a band, I get blamed for it. Like people are chiming in. Oh yeah, you didn't like so-and-so. I'm like, I was not the one that said that. Hollywood was the one that said that. I actually defended him. Sonny goes off on Bret Michaels and I get shit for hating Poison. I'm not the one that hate Poison. I'm like, So I don't know. I think here's the thing. I think that you and I will record a disclaimer that I can insert every time you say something negative to the effect of, this is Sonny Hollywood Pooney and I'm about to diss this band. Check it out.
I think Poison has some great singers. Brett's not one of them.
Jesus. You like some of the Poison stuff. You like that first album.
I do. I like, it's just like Rat. I like that first album, and then it progressively gets worse.
Brett is not, as singers go, Brett is not the worst of the singers out there. He's got a tolerable voice, and so I got no issue with Brett's vocals. Look, he still sounds pretty much like he did back then today, which is pretty good these days, because, you know, he's no spring chicken anymore.
If you're a Spotify listener, check out some of the killer playlists we have put together for your listening pleasure. Links to the playlist are in the show notes, or just search Growing Up Rock Playlist in Spotify.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Okay, so it's time to get into my six-pack part of the Dirty Dozen. Sonny had his six-pack. My six-pack is here, and it's going to be a little less going after some of those big names like Sonny did. However,
really?
Well,
I'm looking at the last three names on this list.
Okay,
could be bigger than anybody I talked about.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble after I go after some of these things, because most of the names, I think all the names except for one, are pretty much well-loved. So it is what it is. I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, that's how I roll. So what are you going to do about it? There's not much I can do about it. Well, let's dive right in. We might as well not even hesitate, and we'll go straight for it. I am going to talk about Ronnie James Dio. Rest in peace.
I love the pause, because you know a punch is coming.
Yeah. So his first two albums, the Dio Holy Diver record and The Last in Line, are both damn near perfect records. God, I love those records. Beyond belief. But neither one is a Desert Island record, because both of those albums sport a song at the end that kills the vibe of the record for me. I cannot stand it at all. I just cannot stand the song on Holy Diver, Shame on the Night. I absolutely hate it. But one I hate even worse is on Last in Line, and that's Egypt, The Chains Are On. I don't get it. I mean, when you go from We Rock to this, or Stand Up and Shout to Shame on the Night, I mean, they're interchangeable songs, in my opinion. Both songs are sort of, I don't know, they're just very similar to me, especially in the vibe. And Dio framed his whole tour around this theme of Egypt and The Chains Are On. And just neither one of those songs does it for me. It kills the vibe of the record, and I hate it, because both those records are so good. Like Desert Island Records, almost. It's like, this is a Desert Island record, but. And then you got the big butt at the end, and it's just, no, it's awful. I can't stand it. Do you like Last in Line as a record at all? And do you like this song?
Egypt is not a good song. To me, Holy Diver's better than Last in Line overall, and I really only like three songs on this record anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that Holy Diver is better than Last in Line. What three songs are the only three songs you like on Last in Line?
We Rock, Last in Line, Mystery.
Wow, really?
Yeah. The other songs are meh.
So you don't like Breathless, you don't like I Speed at Night, you don't like Evil Eyes?
They're okay, they're just meh.
Wow. I don't agree with you there. You're insane. All right, so from there, we're going to go to the Mighty Judas Priest. We talked about Iron Maiden in the last group. These are their counterparts, Judas Priest. Love Priest. Priest has got a lot of great albums. They've got some albums that are meh, for sure. I'm looking at you, Necromancer, or whatever it's called, Nostradamus. That's an awful album. So anyway, but a few years ago, they put out their latest record, which at this point is like, what, 5-6 years old, called Firepower. And everybody chimed in, including myself. The Priest is back. This record is so good. Oh, my God, that record was so good. I loved Firepower. I hope that they give us another record that's as good as that, because that album for me was outstanding. It made my top 10. I think it made my number one album for that year that it was released. Just a great, great Priest record. Every bit as strong and right in line with Screaming for Vengeance and British Steel and those records back then. But at the end of that album is a song called Sea of Red. And it is a sea of shit, because that song is not good. I do not like that song in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't belong on that record. And it's just, they could have ended before that song, and it would have been a perfect album, Desert Island album for me, but they decided to put this song, Sea of Red, on there, and it sucked. I know you're not the hugest Priest fan in the world, but I think that you thought this record was decent. Did you like this record, and did you listen to the song called Sea of Red?
I listened to Sea of Red. You are correct. It's not great. I remember this record. I listened to most of it. Most of it was meh to me. And I will say it again, every time I listen to Priest, I like it less and less. We keep talking about Priest. I'm not going to like a single song come 2025. Because I listen to it and I like it less and less.
I'm going
to
end up doing a Priest discography by myself, too. It's like I already got to do the Russian Saxon one by myself, and then Priest is going to come up. I'm going to end up doing the Rat one by myself. Shit, I'll have to invite people to come on and be my part-time co-host when I do albums that my partner doesn't like.
I'll listen to it, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and I just... Man, Halford is starting to wear on me, I think.
Yeah. The grass is greener from the tears that fall. For you, a misremembrance day. Your message has been heard. Words of wisdom have been shared.
Moving on. So at the beginning of this year, we started our album series for 2023, which is celebrating albums that are hitting their 40th anniversary. We kicked off this year in January with Crocus Headhunter. And I absolutely love Headhunter. It's my favorite Crocus record, period. End of story. I just think it's killer. And if you go back and listen to that episode, the majority of both myself and Sonny and our guest for that episode was Steve Wright from the Potter and Hell podcast. Righty. We all liked that album quite a bit. Even Sonny liked it, which is a surprise to a lot of listeners, I'm sure. However, the one thing I think we also all agreed on is that the ending of this record has a song called Russian Winter, and it is not good. It puts a dud thump on the end of this record, which is unfortunate because overall the record is pretty damn good. Russian Winter is a Russian hunk of shit. So, yeah, not a good song. Do you recollect any of that, Mr. Pooney?
Yeah, Russian Winter was not great. Neither is White Din. So that completes the double dip stupid at the end of this album.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. The instrumental White Din goes into it. Yeah.
But the other not great is the Stayed Awake All Night. 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 Just keep putting that on.
Me and Righty thought that song's okay. You didn't like the BTO cover of Stay Awake All Night.
Well, I don't know if you can call it a song when you just write one line and say it 85 times.
All right, so going from a band like Crocus, get your emails ready because I'm quite sure there'll be death threats over this one. you think Sonny almost got in trouble for the Iron Maiden, Def Leppard, and Van Halen. I'm going to go after the mighty Led Zeppelin. I like Zeppelin overall, and Zeppelin 1, 2, and 3 are fantastic, as is Physical Graffiti and other Zeppelin records. But I'm going to go after Led Zeppelin 3. And Led Zeppelin, they have a propensity for putting sort of different vibes on their record. They're not a straight hard rock or rock band or any of that stuff. They got all kinds of flavors, right? They've got blues and they just have different flavors within their album. So I do understand that part of it. Overall, I think Led Zeppelin 3 is fantastic. I think it's a great record. But you get to the end, and they have this song on the end called Hats Off to Roy Harper. I don't know what's going on with this song. I thought maybe it's just a straight-up sort of blues slide song. Maybe it was just something that Page was feeling at the time. I don't know. But I hate it. It sucks. That song is not good. The name is not good. It puts a damper on an otherwise great album with some classic songs on it. But hats off to Roy Harper. Roy Harper, no, my hat is not off to you. It was not a good song. I know, again, you're not the hugest Zeppelin fan in the world, but do you know Zeppelin 3 and do you know this song?
I do know Zeppelin 3. I know Roy Harper. He was a guard for the Bulls that got a lot of assists passing to Michael Jordan. I remember that. I'm assuming that's not who they're singing about.
I don't think so.
Zeppelin, Zeppelin is tough for me because there is some Zeppelin I like, but because they're so weird, they're very much like Queen. For every song that I can find I like, there's a song that I don't like. And this album, I only like about half the songs anyway. Yeah, Roy Harper ain't one of them.
All right, we're in agreement upon that. Send your hate mail to Hollywood@grownuprock.com. All right, so I'm going to go from Zeppelin to another yet beloved band in Motley Crue, although right now these days they're probably less loved than they were in their heyday. But let's talk about their heyday. Shout at the Devil, a record that people praise from here to eternity. Fantastic. Oh my God, it's such a great record. I agree. There's a lot of great stuff on Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil. Love it. But that being said, it is not a Desert Island record for me. And let's say you like a little bit newer Crue, so you're more of a Dr. Feelgood kind of guy. I'm going to give you Motley Crue A and B Shit Parade. So Dr. Feelgood, another great record. There's a lot of great stuff on it. Overall, I love the record. But again, you come to the end. So coming to the end of Shout at the Devil, you have this song called Danger. And I know a lot of people are like, yeah, but the lyrics are edgy and they're really meaningful and they're autobiographical by Nicky and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I don't care. The song sucks. It's not a good song. I can't compare a song like Danger to Shout at the Devil or Licks at Kill or Bastard. It's just not a good song. I don't like it. And then Dr. Feelgood, you got great songs on there. Dr. Feelgood, Rattlesnake Shake. There's just good stuff on Dr. Feelgood, but you get to the end and it has this song, Time for a Change. Oh man, you're a real edgy glam hard rock band. Yeah, no. Either one of those, you can put either one there. They suck. I hate them both. So I'm guessing that you're familiar with not only both these albums, but both these songs.
Oh, yeah, I am. Danger. I'm just like, wow. That album overall is pretty good. Knock 'em Dead Kid is not exactly great either. But yeah, Danger's a tough ending to that album. Yeah. Time for Change. Dude, I don't know who Donna McDaniel is, but whoever Donna McDaniel is co-wrote the song with Nicky, which means there's possible this person got points on this record. That is a terrible song. She either, they owed her money or somebody's doing Donna, or I don't know who's holding Donna now, but that Holding Donna Now song would have been better to end this album because, oh my God, that song's brutal.
Brutal, right?
Brutal.
I mean, Vince Neil never needs to sing a ballad. He doesn't have a ballad voice.
Yeah, that album has Without You on it, too. It's, oh, that one's brutal, too.
It is, but it's a better song than This Time for Change. And it, yeah. And it's not good. You're right. All right, so if Zeppelin and Motley Crue weren't going after some big names, let me by all means just put a nail in my particular coffin of this Dirty Dozen and go right for the throat with one of my all-time favorite bands, AC/DC. Love AC/DC. Love the record that we're about to talk about, absolutely love it. It's my entry point for AC/DC. I've said it many a times. I came into AC/DC around Highway to Hell and Back in Black almost simultaneously. I wore the shit out of Highway to Hell, but one thing I did not wear out is the end of Highway to Hell. I am not a fan of Night Prowler. I've never really loved that song at all. It's a weak ending to a fantastic record, in my opinion. And I'll go one step further. I've never been a huge fan of the super bluesy slow jam AC/DC, which was more prevalent with the Bon Scott era than it was the Brian Johnson era. It's kind of part of the AC/DC DNA, so I do understand that part of it. But I just don't love the slow, bluesy, super bluesy jams. I like the more groove-oriented AC/DC shit, which is the majority of their shit is that. But Highway to Hell, fantastic album. Night Prowler, not one of my favorites. You're getting into Bon Scott much more these days. Your thoughts on Highway to Hell as an album and then Night Prowler as a song?
I love Highway to Hell. Night Prowler, it's just a little too real for me. So I've never really enjoyed the song because it kind of creeps me out a little bit. But I'm not in love with the TV dinner song before it either.
The TV dinner song.
Love Hungry Man.
Oh, love. Swanson's Love Hungry Man. Yeah, Hungry Man dinner. Okay, cool. I got you.
Straight up double dip stupid ending because those two songs are terrible. Compared to everything else that's on that album, those two songs are terrible.
Yeah, I sometimes forget about Love Hungry Man, but I'll tell you what one of the parts that I do like about that song is right after the chorus, the little bass run. So I do kind of like it. I'm a love hungry. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. So I do kind of like that little run. I don't hate it, but I don't also disagree with you that that's not the best song in the world. Swanson TV Dinners presents AC/DC Love Hungry Man Tour. Ah, so there we have it. Two six packs making up the dirty dozen of terrible album enders to an otherwise pretty damn decent album. So I guess the bright spot in all this dirty dozen is that we are negative in saying these songs are sucking ass. However, it's coming at the back end of a record that we think is pretty damn good. So that's fair to say, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know we got to connect it to Kiss.
Hey, Hollywood. You know what time it is. Let's connect it to Kiss.
You wanted the best, but you got the best. The hottest band in the world, Kiss!
All right, so for the Kiss portion of this thing, I could have easily went with Love Gun, Then She Kissed Me. Most people agree with that. Could have easily went with Hot in the Shade with Boomerang. Most people agree with that. But instead, I'm going to go with the 12th album released by Kiss called Animalize. So after seven outstanding songs, I've had enough Into the Fire, Heaven's on Fire, Burn Bitch Burn, Get All You Can Take, Lonely as a Hunter, Under the Gun, Thrills of the Night. Most Kiss fans that like 80s Kiss, I'm a huge 80s Kiss fan, this was my first Kiss album, love those seven songs. While the City Sleeps, which is the eighth song, is not stellar, but it's okay. But then, the closer on the album is this piece of crap. So here is Gene on vocals and bass, Mitch Wiseman on guitar, and Mitch Wiseman wrote a couple of these songs, including While the City Sleeps, so his track record's not great. Paul on guitar, Eric Carr on drums, and Bruce Kulick actually did the lead guitar on this one. One of the worst songs in history. Murder in the High Heels.
So I love this song for that and alone. That is the only reason that I love this song. I have a sound clip that I use just of that. Yeah, is it worse than Log in the Fireplace, though?
Oh, no. Log in the Fireplace is not bad. That's just a weird lyric that people go to, but that song's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I don't mind the music in this song, but I think it's just the delivery of that that chorus. It's kind of funny and kind of cheesy all at the same time. Murder in High Heels.
And it's a shame because the music rips. The rest of the album really rips. So if that chorus wasn't so bad, it'd actually be a great Desert Island album.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a shame that Desmond couldn't help out with that one part, right? He helped out with other parts, but he didn't have anything to contribute to that.
There's talk about, and Desmond would tell you himself, he's not sure if Gene liked him very much.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah. So he did most of his work with Paul.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. We're wrapping up another one in the books, another episode of the Dirty Dozen series. This one is Terrible Album Enders for an otherwise pretty good record. That's a lot to swallow, but hey, there it is for you. I will tell you this, if you're new to the podcast, we have started releasing these Friday quick fixes on Friday morning, and it's a great way to get your weekend started because, hey, we cover it all. We do solo episodes. We do some episodes together, but we do everything from album reviews to concert reviews to movie reviews to candy bar reviews to all kinds of things. So you never know what you're going to get with a Friday quick fix, but they're pretty fun and they're quick because it's usually 15 minutes or less. And it gets your weekend off to a pretty good start. I've been enjoying doing them. I know my partner over there, Sonny Hollywood Pooney, has enjoyed them as well. Sonny, do you have anything to add before we get up on out of here?
Thanks for listening. And yes, we took a shot at some big bands today. Sorry about that.
Yeah, our bad. Send your hate mail. But if you like those songs, then you're truly disillusioned. Anyway, before all that, have a fantastic week. See ya.
Later.
That's the show. So let's shuffle, rattle, and roll us out of here. Until next week. Always remember, peace, love, and rock and roll. Yeah. Growing Up Rock is a proud member of the Pantheon Network. Pantheon is the place for music lovers. Check us out along with many other great music podcasts on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.